I have a lot of things to say.
But you have vending.
Gonna have to contract and convert some of those. So I'm Deborah Rogers. I'm currently director of a new global network of people working on equity-related issues called Initiative for Equality. And I actually have a sheet where I typed up some remarks that I thought of yesterday, which I have copies that I can hand out if somebody wants my contact information. But of course, I'm gonna go off of my text here a little bit to respond to some things. And I just want to start out by saying that someone, I can't remember exactly who, mentioned earlier today that the environmental community is really worried that the people who are interested in sustainable development and equity just don't understand what a terrible environmental crisis we face and that it has to be solved right now or it's a giant catastrophe that we're heading towards. But I just want to say that the equity community likewise feels that the environmental community just doesn't get it, does not understand what a terrible ongoing catastrophe there is as far as inequality, and that that this inequality crisis itself is very likely what's blocking our progress on other issues, including the environmental issues. So we need to really look at this from both perspectives, and that's why I was very glad to accept a request to come and talk here today, because I think this is one of the only initiatives that's really looking at the connection between these two things, and that's wonderful. I want, everybody here is already probably sold on this idea, but I want to formulate a very crystal clear argument for why these two things have to go together, have to. It's not just a matter of what's right or what's nice or what's ethical or moral or anything else. These things, from a pragmatic standpoint, must go together. We cannot move toward sustainability without moving toward equity. And I actually kind of prefer the word equality because it's a much more measurable metric. Equity being what's fair, and equality meaning that in some sense, in some metric, that things are the same. First of all, there are not enough resources available for development in low-consumption nations without giving up some of what's already being used in the high-consuming nations. We know this. So we cannot have development of the underdeveloped places without giving up something. Second of all, inequality itself motivates and enables excess consumption, because most excess consumption, or a vast amount of it, is about gaining status, or probably more likely, the fear of losing status. So it's about social status. In more equal societies, where there's a higher level of equality, you don't have this motivation, and it's not socially kind of acceptable or motivated for some people to have and use a lot more than others. Third of all, inequality, as we've heard some earlier comments on this panel, really blocks the kind of trust and collaboration and cooperation and willingness to make difficult sacrifices that are going to be needed in order to get our emissions under control and our use of energy and materials under control. People have to know that we're all in this together before they're willing to function really cooperatively like that and to really make some sacrifices. And when you have nations and blocks of nations walking out of talks because they don't have that level of trust, you're looking at an inequality-related issue. And fourth of all, equity and equality are really essential baseline ingredients to a sustainable society. You know, you can't get to sustainability without equity, but you also can't be sustainable without equity, because equity is necessary to social sustainability. You cannot have a society that functions and is able to continue functioning over time indefinitely if there is not a high level of equality and equity, because a very unequal society doesn't function well. Things break down. It generates conflict. It generates health problems. It generates all kinds of social breakdown, and that's not socially sustainable. So equity is necessary to sustainability, period. Let me make one other argument, and then I have some other things, but you can just have my sheet handed out if you want to see those other things. But I think this is also a very important argument, and I don't think I've heard anyone say this yet today, although I'm sure many of you are thinking about it. Equity needs to be addressed within communities and within nations, not just between nations, if we want to go in this direction and get this thing under control. The reason for that is because the kinds of social and economic and political forces that generate ever-growing levels of inequality at any level, including between nations, are operating at the community level and within nations. So it's not sufficient to think, okay, we're going to run off to Rio, or we're going to somehow work through the United Nations or these international fora to try to address the inequality problem, but we're going to look the other way at what's going on in our own community and our own nation in terms of inequality. We will not be able to move toward equity at any level if we don't address it right where it lives, which is the social mechanisms and the specific economic mechanisms and political mechanisms that generate inequality and continue to make it increase over time. So that's part of what I was going to say. Let me skip the rest of what I was going to say and instead tell you about two documents that I've been involved with over the last year. One is, you were talking about metrics and well-being and so forth. So there was this huge Planet Under Pressure conference in London in March, and I was one of the people involved in trying to pull that conference together, and specifically I was the chair of the White Papers Committee. A series of 9 papers were written for that conference, and I was the lead author on the one about well-being. And it was basically a literature review that went, you know, just tried to find out everything that had been written about well-being and how this related to GDP and to measurements of well-being. You know, there's a whole range of different ways of measuring that and so forth. And it's a very long paper with many co-authors, but the bottom line is that we really desperately need to move toward other ways of measuring what people need. And I would suggest, although I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this particular question, but I would suggest that maybe what we need is to move toward equality and equity in terms of well-being, because that's going to take different forms in different places, and it's going to require different kinds of resources, because everyone's circumstances are different. So if you want to see that paper, it's open source. It's just type in my name and then well-being, and it'll pop up for you. You can download the PDF. The other thing I want to tell you about the other document was that over the past 9 months, or really only 6 months, we put together a very, very powerful project working with both research groups and NGOs and just individual citizens who are highly motivated to do a series of what we call field hearings. We wanted to do these globally. In 6 months, we managed to do them all across Asia and Africa, which was pretty darn good. And what we did was we sent these teams of people into these different local communities, mostly poor communities, either urban slums or rural villages with farmers and so forth. People that are really disempowered, don't have much money. They're kind of on the low end of the wealth hierarchy and ability to have any kind of influence politically. And we just asked them a bunch of really simple questions. You know, what's your life like? What's getting worse? What's getting better? To what do you attribute these things? You know, what are the causes? What's behind all this? What do you need? What do you want in the future? How does inequality work in your community? Who's privileged? Who's deprived of what they need? How does that work? Why does that happen? So we just asked a series of really simple questions to people who, by and large, are not particularly educated, are not sophisticated, are not reading the newspapers, and heaven forbid the scientific peer review journals. And you would just be astonished at what we learned, because their thinking is very clear and very sophisticated. And all over the world, you know, all across at least Asia and Africa, where we asked these questions, we got the same answers back. And the things that are of relevance, I think, in this room today are that people said that inequality is greatly increasing, and that the very specific mechanism behind it is that the rich people are the ones who are politically powerful and influential, and they make sure that everything works to their advantage, usually to the great detriment of the people who are poor. They were also very clear about what they wanted in terms of sustainable development. You know, this isn't a word that they're throwing around, sustainable development, but they were very clear exactly about what they wanted in their lives, which was very sustainable, and it was just access to basic healthcare, education, food, and making sure that they could just meet their needs on an ongoing basis, to have the security to know that they could meet those needs on a continued ongoing basis. And that the reason why they couldn't was because of the levels of inequality in their society that blocked them from being able to get access to these things or changing policies to have these things. So if we want to talk about moving towards sustainable societies at the grassroots level or at the top-down policy level, either one, we have to address inequality and we have to put in place the mechanisms where just grassroots, normal, average, everyday people all across the world can get those very basic human needs met and have high levels of human well-being. And you were worried that maybe people, there isn't maybe a good enough grassroots movement right now or not enough energy and excitement there or something. We found out that all across these terribly impoverished areas, people are ready for it. They are ready to absolutely rise up and create their own future if somehow, you know, the things that are blocking them would just be taken out of their way. So I'm optimistic.